and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Rum Daddy.
And I'm John the Lobster. With Arnold Schwarzenegger's star rising in the early 80s, the Austrian bodybuilder filmed his first sequel, a follow-up to his 1982 role in the John Milius sword and sorcery epic Conan the Barbarian. Based on the works of Robert E. Howard, the Raffaella De Laurentiis production brought back Mako from the first film and introduced Grace Jones, Wilt Chamberlain, Tracy Walter, and Olivia Dabo to the Hyborian Age. Written by two Marvel Comics authors with less gore and more humor than the original, director Richard Fleischer stepping in for Milius, and creature effects by Carlo Rambaldi, the film was less financially successful than the first, perhaps overshadowed by Schwarzenegger's true breakout role in another film released that same year, The Terminator. Between the time the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the Sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of. The franchise was done in two, and hither came Conan the Destroyer.
And let's be honest, this movie is not so much about Arnold as it is about Tracy Walter as Malik. I mean,
this is the one where I'm like, if I ever worry about which Conan is it, does it have James Earl Jones or Grace Jones? Like, the two Joneses facing each other, like, I'm all for it.
The movie starts, and for those of you who don't know who Tracy Walter is, he has the most prolific IMDb page that I have seen in a long time. He's this guy who's been in everything you could possibly imagine, every TV show in the 80s, every movie, and all. But he's absolutely urban. I don't know if that's how you would call him.
Urban.
He was like in. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like very contemporary, kind of like from the Bronx type of accent he has. Very American, huh?
From the Bronx.
He was in like Repo Man. He played just a thug in Batman. He was in City Slickers. Trust me, when you lay your eyes on him, you're like, yeah, I've seen this guy in a million movies.
Oh, he's like one of those character actors. He's that guy from that thing. Kind of situation.
Yeah, he's in everything. Right? And all of a sudden, I thought this movie had some miscasting in it. That's the least of its problems.
Yeah.
This could be a 30 or 40 minute short. I mean, the last 30 minutes are really the only, I don't know. It's like a fetch quest up until there, and it's so boring. The movie's so bad.
If only that's bad. The best I could say about it. Yeah,
true.
The dialogue is bad. It has some fun moments, but they're few and far between. I mean, like, I don't
really
know
if you
what
guys were have... those fun moments, because I had to watch that movie in chunks just to get through it.
I think like some of these stunts are good. The like creature effects are bad, and like you can tell they cut corners, but like
Corners. They cut like corners and sides and across the middle and up and down. And
my favorite part is when they're sleeping in the like ruin across the lake from the wizard's castle, and the like invisible bird comes over and steals Jenna and flies away. And then they wake up and they're in this tumble down shack with no roof, and it's nighttime. And they go outside, and it's like bright, brilliant daylight. Like, just like, ta-da! Nobody's squinting or anything. Do you guys, like, can we back up just for a second and remember the first film, Conan the Barbarian? Does that, like, compare favorably to this?
Oh, Mike, I haven't seen Conan the Barbarian in many, many moon cycles, okay? But what I remember about it is that every scene was a Frank Frazetta painting come to life. So it looked amazing, especially when you're like a teenage boy and it's the cover of every heavy metal magazine. And I know this is like dating myself, but it's just, I mean, that's every scene like was like it, a Frank vs. Yeah.
I want it on the side of my van.
Right.
Yes, right? Exactly. Like, you know, it either had Arnold, it always had like, you had like Arnold, and then you had these maidens with enormous tits, tiny waists, and giant hips.
Yep.
Just like barely covering themselves.
I changed my phone screen. Oh, I got all these notifications here. I changed my phone screen. This is great for the listeners at home to like something like that. He's on a horse with a maiden athwart his lap. The pacing of the first one isn't great either. It takes a long time to get going, and then by the time it really gets going, they tee up against the bad guy and it's over. But that one at least has the benefit of being quotable, and there's some really great line deliveries. And I know that's saying a lot because like Schwarzenegger could barely speak English at this point, but the Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven to before you, and to hear the lamentations of the women. And, Crumb laughs from his mountain. Laughs
is
at your
that,
four
Is this
winds.
Where people all get, like, the thank Crumb, and it's like all these Crumb?
Okay. Crumb, if you do not grant me one thing, grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, to hell with you. But this movie, there's, like, no dialogue hardly at all.
This the sword and sorcery shit, while the imagery is cool from like the paintings and stuff that you're saying, I have a pile of the cards from my childhood because you know it's like, oh, there's boobs there, right? You know, as a
oh yeah, that went
12 or
the,
13 year old
straight
boy,
this bank
yeah,
right?
I mean, you're buying some these cards like, oh this is great. They were basically all Princess Leia's fucking golden bikini, right? Exactly. Yeah, with the chicks just draped over their legs like that. I mean, that's
right.
So while
this
that
is a
cool,
visual medium, but we're just
they're sharing pictures
of
While that is cool in that sort of medium, and it's cool on the screen, it just gets so bogged down in these movies. It doesn't.
And work. I love the original Robert E. Howard stories. And the way that Conan is written in those, he's wily, he's a lot smarter. Like, everyone thinks he's just some big, dumb barbarian, so they underestimate him. He's a lot smarter, he's more cunning, and a bit more rapacious than
violent,
he is here.
Brutal. As much as I'm an accent fan, we get it, we get the pictures. As much as I'm an accent fan, it's so bad. Arnold's accent is so bad in this movie still. Like, it's just hard. It's painful.
The worst scene is when he's pretending to be drunk and he's slurring his words, but his diction is so bad anyway. Like, it took me a bit to realize he was
pretending
slurring
to be drunk.
His words. Yeah.
I think I might have missed that because I swear to God, I watched like the first 10 minutes and went, this first 10 minutes are so bad, it's good. And if that's all I had to see, I'd be happy with it. But then I left and came back and did something else and then watched more of it. So that drunk scene, I don't even remember it.
To be honest, I barely remember this. I know I paused it and got a power nap in the middle. I just remember being so disappointed because as a kid, I kind of liked I think liking this or liking the idea of it, but
ugh. And I'll give another example where in the writing of the Conan stories, Wilt Chamberlain's character, you know, would originally be the guy who is supposed to kill Conan at the end of the mission, but Conan would have won him over with his honor and he would realize their true kindred spirits and he would actually end up siding with Conan and fighting beside him rather than sort of their fight at the end here, which like, again,
wait, was
like,
that
get,
a fight? Was that really a fight? Because it was like, well, raise the sword.
And
then and
if you look
swing.
At the behind the scenes photos, like Wilt Chamberlain is up here and Schwarzenegger comes up to about his navel.
Right. Cause Arnold's actually only 5'10", I think.
He's not tall.
Yeah, and I think
I mean, he's average height. Wilt is, I mean, Wilt is a foot. We're not talking like Sly Stallone, who's like 5'9".
But Wilt is like a foot taller than him at least.
Yes.
No. Like 3 feet taller. They had to import a special horse that Wilt Chamberlain could ride because any other horse he sat on, his feet touched the ground. Like, I'm serious. That's a true story about making this movie.
So was
Wilt, if only we had one a foot, device.
One, actually, 11 inches. Arnold is 6'2", and Wilt is 7'1", or was. But still, you could tell right away. As soon as I saw them standing next to each other, I'm like, that has to be Wilt Chamberlain. I have to look it up. But that hat, just the like full head. And Wilt wasn't a small man in NBA stature. Like, I mean, built-wise. But when you put him next to Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, Wilt looks like a fucking gleepy twig. Yeah, he looks tiny. And it's like you're saying, Rum Daddy, it's laughable at the end when he like picks up the sword and the club, and it's like, it just looks
off. I love at the end when they're getting ready to fight.
Yeah.
Arnold does like 3 or 4 different poses with the sword.
Yeah, the posters. Yeah.
Yeah, all the posters with the sword before anyone takes a swing. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Indiana Jones would have shot him.
Contact.
Indiana Jones would have shot him right there.
Yes. Funny enough, last night we were watching old episodes on like TBS, something like that, of Big Bang Theory. And it's this episode where Koresh and what's his face, the one who marries the blonde, are supposed to wrestle, and they just keep circling each other and they never make contact. And it goes on, and none of them, and they're like rolling around on the floor and getting up, but they never make contact. And that was like the joke. This is what that reminded me of.
No, absolutely. Is there a redeeming quality here?
Let's not talk about when the virgin becomes the queen or whatever, and Grace Jones, she's like, you could be my warrior, because there could be a female warrior. And Grace Jones looks over at Schwarzenegger, and he nods to give her approval that she may go up and lead. man.
Because she owed him the debt, because he freed her in the beginning.
Right, owed him the life or whatever.
But she still needed the man to let go.
It's true. No, I will find my own kingdom and my own queen.
This movie, it's a movie that was made.
I did the teased hair on the virgin. I did love how in the middle of the desert she always had this like 80s.
Everybody looks good in this movie. Like, everybody looks good except
they had their hair blow-dried. Oh, yeah, the gorilla guy. And she had a curly iron done. And
What do we think of the gorilla guy? And then I want to talk about,
I was distracted by his red painted chest. I really was. Because it was like, from a distance, it looked like a rubber piece. Like, they had a chest piece. And then when they got up close, it was like this furry onesie with like his red, I don't know, it was all fucked up. I was super distracted by his red painted nipples.
And either was that Andre the Giant, or was Andre the Giant in the rhino horn?
Was Andre the Giant in this?
I'm pretty sure. I didn't realize he's uncredited. Andre was in this. Okay. Hold on, I have it written in the credits. Andre the Giant is the Dagoth monster. He's uncredited. But there's a picture of Andre the Giant and Wilt Chamberlain and Arnie behind the scenes. You can look that up. That's a great shot because they're both towering over him.
Yeah, well, he was friggin' huge.
Huge, I tell you.
Anybody want a peanut? I enjoyed watching this from like the perspective of a Conan fan, but it does not stack up favorably to the first one. It's not nearly as sort of iconic with some of the lines. I love Grace Jones in this. I thought maybe if the movie could have somehow been more about her. And I like the casting, I guess, of everybody, but
really?
The film reads like a really bad D&D game.
Oh, the film really reads bad. Like a 10-year-old put it together.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the director of this film, who was it? Richard Fleischer?
Sure.
He had done a lot. Like, this guy had been making movies since, like, the 50s. Yeah. Okay?
And he was from a movie-making family. His dad was involved in some of the first animations, like Betty Boop and stuff like that. Popeye.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this guy did, like, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And, of course, he did Mandingo. Take me, Mandingo. He, like, the Boston Strangler. He's done a lot of, like, really old films that had a lot of weight to them. To me, it felt like by the time he got to this, he was like, you do this. You go over there. You guys know what to do. Just go. Hey, just go.
Well, and then
just
this go. Was made.
I'm going to be having my sandwich over at Bernie's over here. So
I forget where this was filmed, but it was almost like a spaghetti Western, right? Like it was filmed in like Spain or something where, you know, mostly foreign crew and stuff like that. So it's one of those like weird production stories. The first one was similar, right? And obviously like Dune was made around the same time, and I don't know if there was any like production overlap between this and Dune.
Filming took place in Mexico City.
Okay.
But okay, you know, you could complain about Dune all you want, but I still kind of love Dune.
Original. I love the original too, but wasn't it a De Laurentiis production as well? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but they made movies as a complete business.
Mm-hmm.
They put in money to make money, and that's all they cared about. I mean, remember, De Laurentiis also produced King Kong, the one in New York.
And he was in this, right?
One in the 80s, yeah.
He was in this.
Who, De Laurentiis?
King Kong in the mirror room.
King Kong, yeah.
King Kong ain't got nothing on me. I guess the last point is this didn't make any money, really. And they stopped making Conan movies with Arnold. And, well, that's not entirely true because Red Sonja came out the year after this, also directed by Richard Fleischer, also a Robert E. Howard character, and also with Arnold not playing Conan, but a different Conan-esque role.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Ooh, maybe we could add that to the list.
I feel Richard like Nielsen, this one and Red Sonja, which I was going to ask about earlier, and even the first Conan, the first Conan, they threw all their money at it. It wasn't that great, but you can see it. They spent money at the time. And then the rest of it is like, let's make popcorn movies for Saturday morning, you know, for kids to watch, you know, at the Dollar Theater for Saturday morning.
Well, and that was part of the strategy here is the first one was rated R, and this one they kind of toned down a bit, and it gets a PG rating. PG-13 didn't
exist at the time. There was like no blood. They did a lot of stabbing off screen where it was like, oh!
They did a lot of like, there's blood, but not like wounds. And even like as he smashes the mirror, then you like see the wound appear on the gorilla guy. The like grossest part is when he pulls the horn off and it's all like gristly coming like, off. And then it's like spurting out stuff. It's like squirting
skate,
on him.
Skate, 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 skate.
So what does it mean if you pull someone's horn off, they die? Isn't there something very Freudian about that?
I think that was a subtext in After Hours, right? It was all about emasculation.
About pulling his horn
something
off.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Yep, Enough of this.
Well, that is how you wake the dreaming god. You know, you pull him off.
Oh, pull his horn off. It's called a nocturnal emission. My brother's sister's cousin never said anything about rating this movie. For Conan the Destroyer, what is best in life? Legendary?
Conan the Conqueror.
Legend of its time.
Two films facing each other.
Cult legend.
Haiku. Hither came Conan. Nothing hurts him, only pain. Grab him and take him.
Awesome.
Whee! Conan Spindetjeff.
Entertaining.
Needs more. Crushing enemies. Seeing them driven before you. Hearing the lamentations of their women.
Mabel.
Maybe they want to capture us and torture us to death.
Forgettable.
Death to the world.
Abysmal.
The Wheel of Pain.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. The Conan the Barbarian 2011 one with Jason Momoa. That wasn't great either.
It can't be any worse than either of this or the other one.
I don't know. Could revisit.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears. I've never seen that 2011 one, but...
With the side of, you are one ugly motherfucker.
The fucking ape that's in the mirror room.
Yeah, the ape guy that's taking a line from Predator.
And by the way, the line is not my brother's sister's cousin. It's my cousin's sister's brother.
Yeah. But it goes, it switches a couple times.
I know. He keeps, they keep asking him which it is. And he's like, why can't you get this straight? It's my cousin's sister's brother. In other words, his cousin.
Yes.
Who's going first?
I'll go first. Yeah, this one is down there on the mayable scale. I'm not going to go forgettable because I do remember that this is the one with Grace Jones. But it's pretty close to, like, at some point you want to be captured and tortured to death because it ain't good. It just ain't good.
I was really hoping you'd give this a much higher rating since you picked it so that I could give it an abysmal Wheel of Pain.
Okay, well,
The reason I'm going so... Actually, no, I gave... No, that's I'm favorable. Going even lower. I'm going to Conan the Barbarian, Jason Momoa joint, Spring Breakers D&D.
Wow.
And the reason I'm going that low is because this is the worst movie that I have seen on our cast.
So we might have to add Spring Breakers D&D Conan the Destroyer. Is that how it has to go, maybe?
I'm okay with that.
I mean, this is kind of on par with that first Dungeons & Dragons movie, which I feel like we need to review the new Dungeons & Dragons.
I saw that, by the way.
Because it's super good.
I did see that.
And I don't want people to confuse D&D that we're saying for the new one.
I am going to kind of follow suit. I am going to go... I'm going to go forgettable, though, right in the middle. I didn't hate it as much as Rum Daddy, but I didn't even somewhat enjoy it as much as Lobster. It's just so bad. It's a lot of just roaming, and there were times where I just fast-forwarded like some of the fight scenes or some of the roaming through the desert, because it's just there's nothing going on. You're just dancing for 4 minutes. Screw this movie. It's too bad. Last word on Conan.
Styrofoam boulders.
Red painted monkey nipples.
Vulture goddess costume changes.
Yeah, all of a sudden she randomly was slightly more naked with a vulture by her titties, and then she was back in full garb. I'm like, okay.
I was watching it with Rick, and he kept saying, where are the naked dancing maidens?
Right.
Yeah, they needed a few more of those.
Have naked.
If this had been like the R rating and they leaned into some of that stuff, it might have elevated the picture.
I will admit, what they did give us with a little bit of side boob from the virgin chick, she did have some nice ample boob, but there wasn't enough cleavage like the paintings. You know what I mean? Even just in the background, don't put them all up in my face. Just have them be like set decorating boobs.
Well, there were no boobs.
No. Nope.
It was boobless. This was a boobless movie.
Well, I guess when the inscriptions, what was it? The scrolls of whatever.
Well, I love that the wall of hieroglyphics were Mayan.
Yeah. And he's like, if you do this, sacrifice the virgin, awake the sleeping god, tug on his horn. Then, as the prophecy is foretold, Beef will say...
Notes time! All right. In fun news, apparently it was confirmed today, Michael Keaton... Winona Ryder.
Beetlejuice.
And with what's her face as Lydia's daughter. Jenna Ortega.
Oh.
So this should be interesting.
Wednesday.
It should be fun.
From Wednesday, yeah. Yep.
I still haven't seen that yet. That's on my list. But I'm...
It's cute.
Apparently veering into other things that have lots of seasons, so we'll get there.
Okay.
I went to go see a movie.
What are you veering into now, my friend?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So I went to go see a movie, and we'll get to that in a second. But the Oppenheimer trailer on the big screen looks fucking beautiful. I might consider going to see it in IMAX. I haven't seen an IMAX movie in a long time, and that it looks really good. So... I finished STD, Star Trek Discovery. I am up to date.
Oh, that's right.
I am really happy I forced myself through season three.
Aww.
The last five episodes of season four really make up for it with the 10C. It's an interesting storyline. I really enjoyed it. I'm excited for season five or whatever happens.
Maybe I have to revisit that shit because we were just like throwing foam bricks at the TV every episode going, no!
Yeah, you got to mainline it and just know it's really woke, but it is good. It does. It lands. It sticks the landing.
It is. And I think one thing that they do well is they do start to use the ensemble cast.
Yes.
And it's not all Michael all the time.
The shit later
and
in
I
the season.
I think that's a really strong
book was cool.
Yeah, with books, Saru gets his own plot line.
I love Saru.
Yep.
The stuff with they kind of stop like I think the first two seasons with Stamets, he's just sort of like a bitchy gay guy for like most of the first two seasons.
But I was okay with that.
Right, but they flesh him out and
yeah, they make him a more whole character.
Yeah, so I think the next season is going to be the final season, but I think that's okay.
It is the final season, but then they're doing another spinoff of it, and I think they've decided that they're going to do Star Trek Academy, but they're going to do in this timeline as opposed to when we thought it was going to be.
Nice.
I took off on Friday for my mumble's birthday. And I made myself an appointment for a 9:45 showing of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
9:45 a.m. And it's a, what, 2.5 hour movie?
Yes.
3 hours?
2.5. It is, there's a lot of mixed reports online. It was, I don't want to say perfect because no movie is perfect, but it was amazing. It was heartfelt and sad and soul crushing and happy and great and... It's so, like, I was fucking tearing up like 10 minutes in because they go right away for the fucking painful rocket shit, you know? It's a great fucking movie. I love it. The way that he stuck the landing, right? It's hard to do all three and make them all.
Yeah.
I think, to me, it goes 1, 3, and then 2. You need 1 to set it up, but I think 3 is a better movie than 2. But
2 was had its moment, but in the end it didn't really stick the landing.
And you need them all, right? It is a trilogy. Everybody, there are threads throughout the whole thing.
Why does everybody hate on 2? Why does everyone hate on 2 when it gave us the line, I'm Mary Poppins,
Mary
y'all.
Frickin' Poppins, y'all. No, I like 2. I just didn't, it wasn't as good as it could have been. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I thought the whole thing about his father being a god and how that ended up going was kind of like, meh.
Well, you knew that was coming because he held the Infinity Stone. But yeah, it seemed a little grandiose.
Spoilers.
Oh, they've seen 1 now by now.
No, I know.
2. Anyway, 1 and 2. But that was really good. I will definitely be purchasing that on a disc and a digital copy. Then I was looking for something that I could watch because all of my other stuff we'll get to later is coming to an end. And I'm like, you know that Peaky Blinders show everybody told me to watch for so years? And I was full on. I'm ready to be like 10 to 15 episodes a season. And at episode 7, it was like start of season 2. And I'm like, I love you British shows. So I am three quarters of the way through season 2 already. I love it.
Do you like Peaky Blinders? Okay.
The first couple episodes are slow. But
yeah,
it's,
I couldn't get into it at the first.
It's basically... Every time it got slow, I kept thinking in my brain, it is Sopranos-ish, but 1920s or 30s London after the war. So almost all these dudes have been in the war. So there's that to look at. And it's just, I keep, anytime it gets slow, I keep going back to, it has that mob feel. And I trudge through the mud, if you will, with that. Aunt Paul is a fucking badass older woman that helped raise the family. I don't know. I'm liking it so far.
And I've heard nothing but great things about it.
And everybody dresses all pimp, you know, from back then.
Mm-hmm. That is one thing I will say, like, anytime I see a picture of Cillian Murphy in his Peaky Blinders garb, I'm like, damn, he looks good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys watched Supernatural, but Dean, Jensen Ackles, when there was a moment where he went bad, he was carrying Lucifer inside of him, and he changed the way he dressed to look like Peaky Blinders, because that was his favorite show. So that's how he dressed for the show. And let me tell you, he looked fine.
Well, look good. It's a good look on a guy. That's what we're saying.
My ex and I,
Beef, you should try it.
When my ex and I would go out all the time, like once or twice a weekend when we were dating for those couple of years, we would always do at least one fancy dinner. And whenever we'd go out, people would be like, "Have you ever seen the show Peaky Blinders?" Because I got the hat and the vest and the pocket watch. And I'd be like, "No, I haven't seen it yet." So now watching it, I'm like, "Well, shit.
No, this is just my aesthetic. Get off my dick.
This is just me. I'm sorry." Anyways.
All right. So I guess it's my turn. Daddy. All right. So, yeah. So, you know, because it's my turn, I'm going to do something production related.
Oh, great. Bring the fucking room down.
Who's going on strike next? The directors?
Actually, the actors.
They probably will.
No, I think. The
DGA is up next.
DGA is up next, and that's the beginning, first week of June. And then the actors, SAG and AFTRA, are directly after that. But this writer's strike is going to go on for at least 3 months. And we'll talk more about that much later, because it's affecting me and everything I do as well. So, the showrunner for Andor, which I went to a screening of Andor last weekend. And Tony Gilroy was there, and he was fucking hilarious. He's such a no fucks to give kind of dude, and he's right most of the time. And he's like, "So I saw this, and it inspired me to do this, and this is why we did the writing." And he was just very no fucks to give and very off the cuff and didn't care what people, like, he was like, "We're all in the industry here. We could, you know, talk shit." So he would talk shit. But anyway, because he's a writer on the show and produces it and everything, he's like, "Yeah, we've stopped production on anything at all until the strike is over," because he's got his hands in too many of the guilds. So he's just like, "We're out." But because we did Conan the Destroyer and it was an Arnold vehicle, the trailer for Arnold on Netflix, which is a documentary about Arnold and his rise and fall and rise again, where they're actually interviewing him. And they let him tell the story. Yeah, it seems pretty cool. They got a lot of footage, because there have been a couple of documentaries about him, but he was discovered when he did that weightlifting documentary.
Mr. Universe, or Mr. World.
Pumping Iron.
Pumping Iron. The name of it was Pumping Iron. Mm-hmm. And it was for the Mr. Universe competition. And living in L.A., when I first moved here, I moved to the West Side. And the gym I used to go to was Crunch. No, it wasn't Crunch. It was, fuck, what was it? I can't remember, but it was his gym. And because it was in Venice, and that's where everybody went, so it was a really cool gym. But one time I was riding my bike, I was on a down the street, and this big SUV comes out and almost hits me. I'm like, "What the fuck?" And it was Arnold.
Nice.
Nice.
Too bad it wasn't first generation Hummer that almost hit you. Arnold.
Yeah, he loved that baby.
The first generation Hummer.
Nice.
That almost hit me. I think it may have been a Hummer.
Can I ask a question about trailers?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because last week you told us about the Dune trailer teaser. We got the full Dune trailer. Did you watch it?
Yes,
I did. And it's fucking amazing. I watched it the next day, and now I'm just so fucking excited. I can't wait for it to start. And I feel like well, it's going to be the same pace. I bet you anything, you could take the two movies and just slap them together in one long...
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and it'll be... That's what I feel it's going to be like, but it looks great.
Well, that's... I mean, that's... I'll do exactly what I did with Guardians. I watched Wednesday, I did one. Thursday, I did two. And Friday morning, I went to see three. So I plan to do the same thing with Dune because it does feel like it's going to be, Dune. Like you said, zip them up right in the middle and they'll be cohesive. So
yeah,
Epic of Dune.
We're hoping that they have another screening that we can get into, because the first time we saw Dune, we got to see it way ahead of time, and it was like, it was so cool. It was a lot of big IMAX screen. It was amazing. So, and the recommendation, we have been watching, we have one episode left, Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story. I like it better than the first two. It's all about Queen Charlotte, and it goes back and forth between, like, their present day, whatever, you know. And, like, when she first married the king. Amazingly enough, in episode two, you start seeing the king, George, and his madness. And, like, why he has a madness. And like, how they try and work with him and how they keep her away from him. It's really interesting. It's not as fluffy as the first two seasons of Bridgerton. So it's a little darker. It's
fluffy.
There's an extended monologue in episode four or five about tending one's garden and one's garden being in bloom.
Yes, we just saw that today.
I'd like someone to tend my garden, please.
It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. But yeah.
Yeah, but there's a bit of that happens.
I have a garden that needs tending.
Yes, two older British women talking about their gardens, and the last time they were
got a hoe for that garden.
The last time the shrubbery was tended to. So. That's that.
Lobster.
Yeah, hey guys. I want to talk about I Told You So. I want to say it again.
Don't, because if you keep talking about it, it's going to be true. Just say you might have been right, but
I was right last week when we talked about them announcing a writer for the new Blade movie, and then here's the news from Variety that says Blade is delayed because of
And what did I say?
Then shut your mouth right there. No.
Never going to be made. See,
that's... Fuck, I knew one of you was a fucking jerk. Shut up. Don't say that.
You can always bet that I'm going to be the jerk.
And you can go back and look at the last writer's strike and look at movies that we got, like Quantum of Solace and the Transformers movie that they made. But
most of those were mid-production. This is barely moving.
Well, Bond, they had to make, and they had no script. So they had to go entirely off of, like, previs shit and then do stuff
later. I just want my new Blade movie with Mahershala Ali, because he's going to kick ass. Even if it's in another 5 years, I want my fucking movie.
The first three Blade movies theoretically have scripts, so just take the good parts of those and just make that the movie.
Well, it's not just movies, because we keep talking about movies, but look at all the TV shows that suffered during the
TV shows. And everything. Lost, the writer's strike fucking ruined the second or third season of Lost.
Oh, Battlestar Galactica was so fucked many up, things.
Anyways, fucking get your shit together. Pay these people.
The next thing is a bit of casting news. Carl Urban is in final talks to play Johnny Cage in the Mortal Kombat sequel,
I guess.
Now, I am here for this. I am entirely.
I was here for this. I mean, I'm here for it anyways, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. When's it going to be? Middle of next year, probably.
So I just discovered that on HBO Max, you can watch Mortal Kombat Conquest, which is the cable TV series they did in like the late 90s. That was like episodic television Mortal Kombat.
No.
And it was terrible. And I can't wait to rewatch it because I have such like fun preteen memories early teen memories of watching it. So the other bit of news is a little bit of cancellation and renewal. So Fox canceled Call Me Cat, the Mayim Bialik show that had the late Leslie Jordan on it. They have renewed Animal Control Beef, So you should definitely check yes. that out because well, there will be a season two. You'll
pester me enough about it. I will be checking it out.
Yep. Trailer wise, I am obsessed with the trailer for Flamin' Hot that dropped today. It's in the vein of the BlackBerry movie and the Nike movie and the Pong movie that just came out.
No, not Pong. It's another fucking
Tetris. Tetris. Whatever. I think a Pong movie would be good, yeah. too. So it is telling the true story of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, yeah, sure. I'll watch this.
This looks fun. This is Disney Hulu. If you want another one of these, kind of the same vein, that's fun. It's on Netflix. It's the Pez Outlaw.
Oh, nice.
That one's pretty good, where a guy in the mid, late 80s or 90s or something was going over to Europe and buying up thousands of copies of the ones that they wouldn't sell here in the U.S.
Nice.
Yeah, that's fun.
And in production somewhere is a Jerry Seinfeld movie about the true story of Pop-Tarts. So that's, I don't know really? If that's in production yet or, yeah, in development. But yeah, so there's a Pop-Tart movie coming.
I mean, I never would have thought I would have liked, what was it, The Founder as much as I did? The McDonald's right. one? Yeah. That was amazing.
That one was actually pretty yeah. good.
Yeah. So
what's your next one? Trailer, what's your next one, Lobster? What trailer you got here, huh? Is this one of your guilty pleasures, maybe?
So the next trailer that I have
so bad.
Is a sequel to a movie that I still can't believe exists. The original movie was called The Meg. I love the
original movie. It was so bad. It was so much fun. It's a giant shark
movie with Jason Statham. And this is Meg 2, The Trench, which is more giant sharks and giant squids and other shit get stirred up. And fuck yes.
Can we... We're most likely not going to see this in theaters, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, I might now. Like, I watched the first one, I guess, at home, maybe on my phone. So no! Maybe I'll go see
God damn it.
Maybe I'll go see this on the big screen.
I would be...
It's like an August release. Like, it's a late summer.
I would pay... I would either pay to see this or I would pay to rent it at home and watch it for the cast. I would be down for, because I know you like the first one a lot.
there's usually a couple movies every summer where it's like, if I could go to a drive-in theater and see it, that would just be perfect. And I feel like this is one of them. Like, if I could watch this
on but a it's being released in screen, 3D.
There's like Ooh. Mech suits and
yeah, there's underwater power armor.
Oh, this is totally over the top. This is going to be awesome. Yep. The shark eats a T-Rex. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they start with like the flashback 65 million years ago. Anyway, the bit of recommendation. So I started watching this last week. I'm now on, I think I will watch the finale tonight.
Okay.
It is The Night Agent on
and?
Netflix. So I want to say that the show hasn't gotten any better. It hasn't gotten any worse, but it's just sort of like popcorn viewing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very
non-committal. Like
they do this subplot with the vice president's daughter, who is a terrible actress.
We know her from something, though. We know her from something.
I'm sure we do. And like, also, a lot of the acting is really bad. Like, I'm normally not super critical of acting in stuff because I think, you know, you do what you can with the dialogue you're given.
Right.
Right. But both the dialogue and the acting in this is pretty bad, but it's still a really enjoyable show. Yeah.
As B plot, you know, whatever B movie as it is or B show, it's a lot of fun. The thing that's really messed up is now if you go and anytime soon watch Rabbit Hole, which the season finale just happened, sure. That's Paramount. It's very, like, the writers have to be the same or their poker friends or their buddies because there's, like, subplots that are very similar with, like, it's just strange. Strange.
Even the actress who plays the president's chief of staff, Hong Chau.
Yes.
She's a really, really good actress. She was nominated for an Academy Award this year for her role in The Whale. And she's really bad in it.
Oh, yeah. She's like, she's chewing the scenery.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. But somehow it all works together. And I'm like sucked in. So
I mainlined it in like 2 days. Because, yeah, I was just dumb, non-committal fun.
I've been watching one episode before bed every night on my phone. And I go right to sleep. It just puts me right to sleep.
I'm ordering you a tablet. I have your address. I'm going to send you something here. All right. Spoiler-free review. Ted Lasso, I fucking love you. You make me happy. Did you watch the most recent episode?
No.
You are going to die. It's a great episode, but the last, like, 7 minutes just keep getting better. And the last, like, 2 minutes are probably some of my... It's a great show. It's amazing. Rabbit Hole, again, a lot of fun. The season finale just happened. I don't know if we'll get another one, but Jack Bauer is amazing. I mean, Kiefer. Love and Death, that's the HBO Max version of the Candy story from Hulu. That is still really good. I just finished episode 4. It's interesting the way that they are telling the same story, but they're focusing slightly on different things, different aspects. So I'd like to actually look into it more and see maybe what's... Because nothing seems too far off, but I don't know. A lot of it could just be good drama. And it's fun to watch What's-Her-Face, Olsen, as an axe murderer. What about you guys?
Let's see. I have not caught up with Ted Lasso. So we're probably going to watch that tomorrow. Let's see. Maisel, this last episode of Maisel was so good. It answered all the questions that we were asking, and there's still like 3 episodes left. So it could have been a season finale, but it was good.
The roast show, yeah, the roast episode.
The roast episode. I really thought they were going to save that information for the finale, but I'm glad we got it now because it was really interesting. I picked up Blackbird again, started watching it. I've been sticking to Apple Plus lately because their stuff is off the chain. But Blackbird is actually really good. Big Door Prize still remains interesting. Can't wait to see where it's going to end up.
I will agree with you on the Apple stuff. In the beginning, their catalog wasn't very big, but the stuff that they had was quality. Now, even all this, it's like a lot of the shit that they keep putting on there is at least entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on Peacock, we watched Mrs. Davis. That keeps, you know, on
that's
the cock.
The AI
we watched
one.
Mrs. Davis on the cock. So that's interesting, still wondering where it's heading.
That's the AI
and then
one.
I just started on Rick's request because he's seen it all. He had insomnia and sat up all night and watched like 6 episodes of The Devil's Hour on, I believe it's on Netflix, and it's with Peter Capaldi. I've seen the first 2 episodes. I still don't know where it's going, but it's really creepy, weird, and there's like murder and timey-wimey shit going on. Imagine that with Peter Capaldi, but that's what we've been watching. And Lobster, you are next. Timing is everything, Lobster.
Mrs. Davis is the one with AI. Mrs. Davis is the one with AI, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I will be sure to not edit that.
So, I forgot to watch Citadel. So I've got an episode of that to watch. We watched some of Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story. We watched the newest episode of Mrs. Maisel. We watched Animal Control, might have been the season finale, and we watched Not Dead Yet, the season finale. These are sitcoms. What am I supposed to do now? Oh, right. We kind of talked about these already.
Did you blow?
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We've lost Lobster.
Out of your nose right there?
Yeah, hold on.
All right.
Wait, there's gray stuff coming out of his nose. Gray matter.
That's it. That's all.
Were your sitcom-y show is at least funny.
Yeah, Animal Control I really like. The Not Dead Yet show, it's with Jane the Virgin, and she sees dead people, and it's like, it's a little too sitcom-y for me.
Okay.
In the way that like a lot of modern sitcoms do. I think maybe the best show I've seen this year is that Jury Duty show. And that guy just inked a deal To get representation, and he was doing something with
he was doing a commercial with Ryan Reynolds. Yeah,
yeah, with Ryan Reynolds. So like if you're gonna watch something, check out Jury Duty. I'll just recommend that.
That again. I think that is on one of my lists from last week because you keep saying it's like
it's a on shizzle. Freevee.
Freevee.
Is Freevee an Amazon?
Free.
It's Amazon with ads. So it's Amazon right. content with ads.
Copy that.
All right.
I think they were good.
Yeah, I think we are too. I just need to make
sure. What are we watching next week? Or am I jumping the gun? We do that here?
Sorry, I just had a stroke.
We do the other thing, right?
Sorry, just had a stroke. We're all losing it today.
Did you also expel brain matter from your nostrils?
I lost
it.
I don't know what's going on here. I lost everything.
I quit. I'm walking away.
When
next time on Legends Podcast.
Yeah, I know. I closed the wrong tab. Shut up, you guys.
Uncle
Housekeeping.
Buck.
Next time, Legends Podcast. Uncle Buck, the movie that really confused me as a child because I used to like John Candy, and then I saw this, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Have a comment, question, recommendation? Email us at legendspodcasts@gmail.com with an extra S for Schwarzenegger. Arnold
Schwarzenegger.
This has been episode 626 of Legends Already? Podcast. Look at that. It's like a palindrome. I'm Beef saying meow.
I'm Rum Daddy saying woof.
I'm John the Lobster saying nothing hurts me, only pain.
Never got that.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast plural. For all our contact information as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.